I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Yeah, that's right. We are back here to talk about what has been, for the last couple of weeks, the number one TV show on Netflix. I am so excited for this episode of the podcast. And of course, I'm always excited when I get to talk to this man. I don't know if he's written any letters to anybody recently. Here is, of course, the great Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm amazing. I'm good. How are you?
I'm pumped up that I really have been looking forward to this all week long. Like, I really feel like that we have not done this in a while, where we've really delivered on the promise of nothing but Netflix, where you and I have watched an entire series here to talk about it.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where we kind of avoided this one. You know, we saw The Watcher. It was number one. And then we're like, yeah, but is it too scary? And then we start the next week, and like, is it too serious? You know, it sounds suspenseful and brooding. Is that really the essence of nothing but Netflix? So we finally just gave in, and look at what we got, Rob. I think we're going to have a good podcast
today. Well, you know, we've been reading the comments, and the comments were like, Rob and Chappelle, you need young blood on the podcast. You need a young couple to move in. You need a young couple to a man and wife to come in and be on the podcast with you. I said, fine. We'll give the podcast what it wants. So, all right, let's do it. We're so excited to have here with us Josh Wigler and Emily Fox moving in.
Dearest new listeners at Nothing But Netflix, allow me to welcome you to the podcast.
Yes.
Was it Josh and Emily that brought you to me? I will find out.
Yes. Okay. And so excited to have Josh back with us, because I feel like that is this the first time since Squid Game that we had you come back for Nothing But Netflix?
Is this the first show since Squid Game that has brought Josh to Nothing But Netflix? Better for me.
Yes. Good. Good. Okay. And then making her Nothing But Netflix debut, Emily Fox.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys. This is great. I think greed brought me here.
Oh, greed. Yes. Yes.
All right. Greed definitely brings me to every podcast, just to be clear.
Yeah.
And if it's not greed, it's creed. And just the opportunity that perhaps someday, someone's going to do that. And it finally happened. And I think I can quit podcasting.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm so excited to talk about this wild, nonsensical, ambiguous show here. I feel like there's so much fun stuff to podcast about. We will be doing full spoilers, all seven episodes of The Watcher. Jeez. To talk about what happened here on Netflix. And so if you are, you don't have to watch it. I mean, we'll give you the gist, but if you did, or if you did not, like, we will be telling you everything that's going to be going on there. Just real quick, Chappelle, I loved the podcast we did last week, even though we hated the show. Josh and Emily, can you believe that there's a show called Easy Bake Battle that has Nary and Easy Bake Oven on Netflix?
I think I've scrolled past it a bunch, being like, what is this nonsense?
It's
like,
Anthony, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that actually fits as a host, because all he's ever shown anyone to do is like open an avocado and be like, have you tried guacamole? And I'm like, oh, God, you got to have other skills.
It's called the Easy Bake. What is it?
Battle.
Easy Bake Battle. And it's not brought to you by Easy Bake Oven.
It kind of is. Like, they kind of have one, but they really don't use it.
Really?
Yeah, it's there.
It's like on the counter.
Like a set piece. Yeah. Like, oh, look, we have an Easy Bake Oven. We also have a really big oven that we're going to use, an actual oven as well. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about that one.
Yeah.
Well,
can I tie the room together by saying, I think having a show called Easy Bake Oven and not prominently featuring an Easy Bake Oven would be like having a podcast called Nothing But Netflix, but not eventually covering the number one Netflix show in The Watcher. So you are doing your duty.
Yep.
You are doing better than the Easy Bake Oven Challenge.
Okay.
Yeah, our listeners were clamoring for Easy Bake Battle. We gave them.
A lot of letters.
People want to get you talking about food shows, and this is the one.
We gave that to them. Okay, but wait, I don't want to waste any more time on the Easy Bake Battle when we have the Watcher, seven episodes of this wild ride. Chappelle, you know, I've been dying to know all week. What did you make of The Watcher?
I didn't know what to expect going in. I'd heard that it was like, oh, based on something true that happened. People were saying, oh, but I didn't really like the ending, but it was a fun ride to get there. So I really went in kind of open-minded. I was like, okay, well, let's see what happens. And so I watched the whole thing in various states of, alertness, I did. And I enjoyed the ride. You know, I don't think it was my favorite thing in the world, but I wasn't mad at it. I don't have any huge complaints. What about you?
So I just feel like that there's so much fun stuff to talk about here on the podcast. The thing that really attracted me to it was that, okay, we had seen this. We watched Ta-Doom, and this was Bobby Cannavale, Naomi Watts, Jennifer Coolidge. Okay, all-star cast here. Shooter McGavin. And we're going to...
we don't know his real name. Yeah,
no. Ryan Murphy.
I was telling Emily the other night, so Shooter McGavin, for those who don't know, is, of course, the villain of Happy Gilmore and has a prominent role here in Netflix's The Watcher. And I turned to Emily, I said, I love Shooter McGavin so much. And one of the things that I love the most about Shooter McGavin is I have no idea what his actual name is in real life. And for me, that's so rare to like have such a prolific guy who has been in so many different things, who anything other than Shooter McGavin.
And
is
he's
his
always
official name
Shooter
in my mind.
McGavin.
He's some version of Shooter McGavin every single time. And I do now actually know his name, but I'm trying to forget it as quickly as possible because this is such a delight for me to just have Shooter McGavin as a person.
But the thing that attracted me to The Watcher was that I saw after it went out on Netflix that it was trending as people are angry because of the ending is so bad for The Watcher. And I said, oh, now we should talk about this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We like talking about people being angry. We like talking about Shooter McGavin because he eats pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
For breakfast.
And he did it right here.
And do you know what Chappelle eats for breakfast?
Like that in this episode.
Not pieces of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 I had a burger today for breakfast.
I was going to say, air fryer ribs and orange juice is
Today it was a cheeseburger and Powerade.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
That's okay.
I had burger with granola because I'm getting close to 40.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And my joints hurt.
And so the other day, of course, Josh Wigler and I have been talking about Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, all season long. And
the Watcher on the Wall.
Yeah. In our conversation, I had asked Josh, The Watcher? We're going to talk about that for Nothing But Netflix this week. And he said that, hey, Emily and I have been watching it. We love it.
Yeah. Emily, how long did we take to go through The Watcher? I had two nights. Yeah, it's two nights and I think an afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
We had to finish it in an afternoon.
Well, I started watching it with you and people were, you know, we were hearing buzz about it and I didn't really read anything, but I knew that it was kind of a big deal. So I was like, should we watch it? Bobby Cannavale, Naomi Watts, how can you be mad at that? You know, like Jennifer Coolidge, of course. Mm-hmm. So we turned it on. And within 10 seconds, I was like, oh, I read this original article when it came out in New York Mag. I know this story and it's Ryan Murphyized. So like, let's see what that's going to do to it. So, you know, I think after the first episode, I looked at you and I was like, we got to watch the second episode, right?
Like, I think at some point during when you had this eureka, you had this very clear moment while watching the episode. We're like, oh, I know what it is. Like, wait, what? And I didn't know what this was. I knew that it was very buzzy, but I hadn't read anything into it. As the episode was going on, and when Dean, Detective Dean, goes to his mailbox for the first time, I was like, oh, wait. I read like the first four paragraphs of this article once upon a time and then got lazy and forgot.
Classic. Yeah. Cause I probably sent it to you and I was like, you should read this. Yeah.
Tale. Emily sends me a thing. I read four paragraphs. I'm like, I can't, I think I'll be able to fake that. I read the rest of
it. Yeah. Man. Who's a writer does not read anything.
I don't know how to send anything. Him.
It's super fun.
Two different skill sets.
Like the voice came in. I was like,
oh my God, was it Emily that brought you to me, the watcher? I shall keep watching the next six episodes to find out.
And I was so pleased. I was so pleased. We had such a good time watching it.
Yeah.
It's a crazy show.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's Ryan Murphy'd to the nines, but like, there aren't like actual ghosts in this.
Yeah.
There's like gesturing at blood cults, but you know.
There was a blood cult, yeah.
Yeah, I felt like that the first couple episodes, I feel like that really try to like, you know, bring in like some sort of like a supernatural element to it. But I think that by the end, it's like, I don't think this house is haunted at all.
No, yeah. It's more psychological, I think, mm-hmm. for everybody. But like that leads your mind to really crazy visions and things, especially mm-hmm. when you're getting letters being like, have you found what's in the walls yet? Mm-hmm. Real soon. I'm like, No, that's like the least cool thing to say to anybody. That's so upsetting.
Yeah.
Am I the only person who didn't read the article? So, I have no clue like what the article even says.
Yeah,
I have,
sure.
So, I have no insight.
Yeah, I can dispel some of the stuff. I mean, we can kind of talk about the whole show as a, you know,
yeah.
as episode by episode, but like a lot of what they received was actual text that they got in real life. So what we're seeing and reading for the most part is true to life.
Like the letters, you mean?
Yeah, in letters. Yeah. Yeah.
Emily, could you just tell the real story yeah. and like where the like fact and fiction
sure. yeah.
differentiate?
Yeah. So they, the real family, they're named the Broaddus's. They bought this house, I think, in 2014, and they were doing some renovations to it, but they were really excited to move in. They already had been living in the town at that point, and it is Westfield, New Jersey. And the wife had grown up there. The husband's from Maine originally, but they were like, oh, we really love this space. This is like an incredible house. And it really was sort of this picturesque mansion in this area. And it is that specific location and address, right? And I think it was like he had just finished painting one of the walls and he came out to get the mail and they hadn't moved in yet. And they had three kids instead of two. And he got this initial letter that was written just like this, that was like, welcome, you know, I've been a watcher. My father's been a watcher. My grandfather, like, you know, this like whole sort of like series of like, we've been watching and we'll continue to watch, bring the young blood, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Are they going to play in the basement? Blah, blah, blah. And then like they got another letter because they were there for like a barbecue at a neighbor's house. And the wife was really freaked out. So she was yelling the kids' names like, stay close, like don't go anywhere. So he was like, oh, I know your kids' names now. Like all of this stuff. So like
you have children.
Yeah.
I have seen them.
Yeah. So like all of those letters for the most part are real. Tunnels in a house and people that were like, you know, running in and out and like that kind of thing. That's not real. That's totally Ryan Murphy. And it makes sense. But yeah, they really thought about trying to unload the house. They never really moved in. It only finally got sold in 2019, I want to say, mm-hmm. to somebody else. And there were renters that were living there for a time and they got a couple of letters too. And like the voice and the letters were getting increasingly angry and hostile. So like all of that is true to life.
Yeah.
And they also did suspect certain neighbors of being involved. They weren't sort of like exactly like Mia Farrow, but like
Margot Martindale.
Yeah. But like, it's similar to that. Like there was like a family that lived nearby who had like adult children that were living there that were in their 60s. So they were like, this is weird. Like there's a guy who is purportedly schizophrenic. So they were worried that maybe it was him writing these letters. So there's a lot of stuff that's overlap there that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But apparently they sold the house in 2019 and there haven't been any letters since.
Okay.
So
too much heat on the watcher.
Yeah. And one thing that I thought was really interesting that I gleaned from rereading this and also reading an updated version from New York Mag was that people were so angry. Like the town itself was so angry about all of this. And they were saying that the Broaddus's made this up, that they were sending themselves letters because they'd made a financial mistake. Right. Which we see kind
of on the show
in the show. Yeah. Right.
And I also think in the true story, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the actual like what's the real Broaddus's guy's name?
Derek.
Yeah. Okay.
Dean on the show.
But he actually did in real life was found to have sent letters to the neighbors.
Yeah, they're to some of the people who were the most outspoken about them selling the house or trying to like divide it into a subdivision. Because that was a thing that they proposed to the town at one point, was like, we can't unload this. No one wants to buy this house because we get these terrifying letters. Perhaps we can subdivide it and turn it into two new houses. And everyone flipped out. And the most vocal people, like opponents of this plan, even though it never got passed, ended up getting these threatening letters from like friends of the Broaddus's, which ended up being Derek. So like, there really was a psychological component to this where I think everyone was really terrorized and very upset about it. And it ended up being something that he personally was like, this is like a cancer. Like I think about it every day. Like, I don't know. Like we will never recover from this. Completely.
Derek is like big Harvey Dent vibes, right? You either die here or you live long enough to become the Watcher.
But it's a pretty upsetting story, and they've never been able to figure out who the real like culprit was. So
I think that leads into why the show ends on such an ambiguous note of like, here's 19 people that it could have been who were sending the letters. We're not gonna tell you what actually is going on.
But gosh, I love to think about who it might have actually been.
What a ride.
It's such a ride. I think structurally the show is really fun because every episode sort of filters the possibility of a different person having done it, or at least like a different version of the story. I think it's episode 2 where you get Seth Gable, who I loved from Fringe. He's Drew. He's the one who's outed as an actor at one point. Mm-hmm. And he's in the diner and he's giving his whole rendition of everything. And then you find out about, is it John is the one who...
John Graff.
Who murdered his entire...
Or just John.
His entire family, which, Emily, I think that that's like based in some truth at the very least.
There's some truth to that. It didn't happen in the house itself, but it happened in that town a couple of years before the wife was born, basically. So that's just lore from the town that was sort of like cherry picked and dropped into this specific space.
Yeah.
But it was about a man named John. I think his last name's different, but he apparently killed his children, his wife, and his mother.
Yeah.
So that's not totally fabricated, but it's sort of like loosely tied to this to make it more compelling, I think.
But I think it's really smartly done in terms of every episode kind of keeps you guessing at like a different possibility. And if you don't know the story going into it and you are expecting some kind of resolution, I imagine that's extremely annoying and frustrating when you get to the end for some people. For me, I kind of love it. I kind of love that I get to live in, like, at least as far as the fictional version of this goes, in reality, I would love justice.
Sure.
Terrifying in reality.
Justice for the house.
Yeah.
And the neighbors. Well,
I didn't hate the ending at all. Yeah. I liked it. I liked the ending. I thought it was fitting because I decided halfway through that the house was the villain. So as far as I was concerned, you could bring in a billion people to watch this damn house, and the house is going to keep rejecting all these people. Yeah. And it doesn't matter who's sending the letters. So for me, I was just like trying to wait for them to get there. When are y'all going to figure out that it's none of these people? It is the house. The house is typing on an old typewriter and sending these threatening letters to everyone. And he's trying to get sold to the next person so he can do it all over again. The house is the problem. Real estate is the issue. Let's get down to brass tacks.
Well, I think realtors are the secondary antagonist, as represented by Jennifer Coolidge as Karen Calhoun.
Yes.
Queen.
You know the problem, Nora.
Yeah.
You just need to divorce him.
Yeah.
You just need to divorce him, clean him out.
And Jennifer Coolidge is at her Jennifer Coolidge finest here.
She's kind of like a supervillain. So it's not total Tanya McCloud, you know, McCloud. You know, it's like Nora as Karen Calhoun. She's like, she's not sort of like the aimless, wandering, Tanya of the White Lotus. She's Karen has a plan, you know. Karen, by the way, a total Karen also.
Yeah.
Perfect name.
Well, I think it's up for some debate of just how much agency, like, did she have in this? You know, the whole series, she's like, you gotta sell. She's pushing for all of the selling. And then at one point, Naomi Watts and Bobby Cannavale, like, really accuse her when they see that she is in a romantic relationship with Shooter McGavin.
Yeah. Detective.
They do try to out them as it was you the whole time, which then, you know, is she getting revenge just for that? Or, like, did she actually have something to do with this from the beginning? I think that is very much up for debate.
Yeah. Well, unless she's sending herself letters, that final sequence in the finale
takes her off the hook.
Kind of. Yeah. When we're sort of like doing like the Drew Barrymore scream tree.
Yeah, that's what it
Jennifer
felt like.
Coolidge was just a tremendous, like whoever had that idea, I guess it would be Ryan Murphy. Like,
yeah.
All right, well, we're going to end this with the Drew Barrymore and scream sequence. And it's going to be Jennifer Coolidge instead of Drew Barrymore. This is why Ryan Murphy's getting paid all of that Netflix money. That's visionary stuff.
That I thought it was also very interesting that I don't believe it was the whole series, but I think that at least that last episode was directed by Jennifer Coolidge.
No, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
No, it's not. It's Jennifer Lynch.
Oh, I got that wrong. Sorry about that.
Jennifer Lynch, daughter of filmmaker David Lynch, so incredible pedigree.
Wow. I was like, is there anything she can't do?
Gosh, if that had been Jennifer Coolidge.
Ryan, just let me direct Jennifer's. A sequel. I have big ideas for who's actually sending the letters.
That would have been so awesome. Yeah.
Is it weird that your Jennifer Coolidge sort of sounds like David Lynch too?
Oh.
Wow.
You know,
oh my gosh.
I thought it was also
dearest
possible.
New neighbor at 657 Boulevard.
Could it have been Bobby Cannavale that after Jennifer Coolidge buys the house that, you know, him and Naomi Watts are so upset about this that could they have been getting back at her? And they were the ones who then got back into the house to mess with her. And did the things to her as opposed to the house rejecting her.
It's likely.
That's probably what we're supposed to believe. But by the end, they're watching the house as well. You know, they're not, it's not like they got back at her and then went on with their lives. They, you know, they've now rotated into one of the watchers themselves. So I think it's deeper than that. But yeah, I think every like storyline led from like another person trying to get revenge on somebody else for accusing them of something that they didn't do. I mean, we saw that with the security guy. We saw that with the detective. All except for Theodora, who was probably the real villain, honestly. Come on. No,
she wanted you to think that.
No, yeah, of course she did. Why would you want? Yeah, whatever.
It's her deathbed confession.
She's like, I wanted to give you peace. Girl, you've been ruining their life for 6 episodes. You have never given about giving them peace. Now all of a sudden you're like, it was me. You could have said that from day one and saved that man a bunch of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's her.
I want to believe her. I want to believe her. I want to believe that she was the watcher. It's such a ridiculous story. That I have to believe that it's true. If you're going to take issue with the ending of the show, I guess it depends on where you're at and your investment with the Watcher, because the final episode is like, now I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you quite angry, Dean, and I don't want you to take it out on this person's family, but I figured out who the Watcher is. It was me. It was me.
Theodora. T-Birch. Yeah.
Yeah. T-Birch. When she turns out to be the Watcher. And she's like weaving this elaborate yarn, and Dean kind of walks away from it, being like, "All right, well, that's a surprise." I don't know why I'm Mike Erman trouting him, but like he's like,
"I can't believe this. You should have hired.
Believe they've been watching my house.
If you wanted a real private investigator, you should have gone in a different direction.
Don't hire out when you can hire yourself.
There's a real half measure."
He ends up being like, all right, well, I did like Theodora and she's dying. And now I'm sad. And then, though, they go to the funeral and the daughter's like, yeah, so she told me she just made that up.
Yeah. I don't know why she told you that. That was
like if Theodora was going to go and do this whole elaborate plan, then just commit to the bit, or at least you got to get your daughter in on the lie. Otherwise, what's the point? Unless like Theodora's daughter's like, Mom, I love you. I'm really upset that you're about to leave us. I'm not going to tell the Bradleys that you were the Watcher. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. I'll go to jail. I'll go to like court. They'll put me on trial for your crimes that you didn't commit. What is the matter with you? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. So like, if you're like really invested, if you have found some level of reality in the show, then maybe that, but I was just here for the ride at that point. And I really liked that the finale had like you were really now in the middle of the ocean. You had no idea who could have done this, where this was. And throughout that one episode, I feel like you're getting hit with wave after wave of who could have done this. So it just like pulls you in even deeper. I like that. I know that you need some resolution sometimes, but for this, you know, there's no resolution in real life. There's no resolution in the show. I think that The Watcher was a vibe. The Watcher was a vibe. The real Watcher was a vibe.
The point of that is that it could have been anybody, right? And that person's still walking among us. And that's the creepiest part of a real life story and leaving it undone in the show as well. Like, nobody feels great about not having a resolution, right? Like, the human race, we like to see a start and end to things. That's why people get upset about space. Like, it keeps going. Oh. It's just ever expanding. And you're like, no.
Is this
like
why Dr. Amanda hates space?
Maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought you were going to say that's why people get upset about The Walking Dead. Because
Chappelle refuses to die.
Yeah.
A zombie that we just
keep
can't
it clean.
Kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep it clean, Chappelle.
But yeah, I think that that's what is so unsettling about this is like we crave a resolution. And when we start and finish a series, we're expecting that, right?
Well, could it be season two, Emily? Do they need to leave it open?
No.
It's a big hit. It's a big hit.
I think we should pitch this out. I think we should pitch out The Watcher 2. I think The Watcher 2 First Blood.
Young Blood.
Go back prequel. Watcher 2 Young Blood. It's a prequel. We hear from the Watcher, right?
The Watcher has been watching your house for 110 years, and now it is my turn. Mm-hmm.
Like, let's go back to who was the person in charge, his grandfather, right?
Yeah.
So what was the first coming? He says, I'm here for the second coming. What was the Watcher 2 first coming? Yeah. I want to see that. I want the prequel. Let's go back. Mm-hmm.
So the reality in this story, too, one of the overlaps is that the DNA on the envelope was female.
Yep.
Ooh. No.
Yes.
That carries over in real life.
And
too.
Ryan Murphy loves an anthology.
Yes.
No. They said you could have just planted that DNA. If this Watcher was such a he's such a criminal mastermind, he didn't put on gloves. You mean to tell me that he just was willing to just say, oh yeah, it's a female. Listen, it could have been anybody. They narrowed it down to nobody, they said. When I got to that point, I was like, okay, screw y'all. I don't care anymore. I hope you all die. Yeah. I was rooting against everyone.
You know, the best part for me, though, in all of that was like in sort of like the throwing your hands up in the air and not figuring out who this is anymore. As far as that being reflected on the show is after they have after Nora and Dean have gone to the country club and have accused Karen and Shooter McGavin of being the co-watchers. And then they find the tunnel. And then they go to Shooter McGavin and they like lay out all of the things that they found. Like, you need to help us. And Shooter McGavin's like, all right, well, here's what I'm going to do for you. Profanity alert. Absolutely fucking nothing.
Yeah.
here's the detective of the town, the head of police. He's like, mm-hmm. nothing. Absolutely mm-hmm. nothing. Truly, like, I eat pieces of shit for breakfast and I was trying to eat them with my lady at the country club.
Yeah. But he does that to her then at the end. Also, he's like, you know what? You weren't very nice about my ED. And out of context Twitter account, stop. Cease and desist. No. Okay.
Josh, you know what to do. You know what to do, Josh Green.
And he's like, and you know what? You can call 911. I told everybody not to help you. Okay.
Yeah.
Literally the worst.
Yeah. You can call my buddies at the FBI in North Jersey. Like, he's the most well-connected man, Jimmy mm-hmm. Gavin. Mm-hmm. He's not going to do anything for anyone. I loved that.
How do you not just give up on this entire series when Margot Martindale is alive? You're like, wait a minute, goddamn. I saw y'all I know y'all got murdered. I was there. I saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, no, well, what are you talking about? Yeah. We're back.
It's like, well, no, it turns out that our son, he has a substance abuse problem. He found two old people, brought them to our house, blew their heads off. Mia Farrow's like, so what? Whose funeral did I go to?
Yeah. It was so casual.
Like, I thought they were in witness protection or something. And then, like, the threat went away. Yeah. And then I was like, but why would you come back, like, 2 weeks later? Like, well, we got rid of that threat. Don't worry about it.
That's
like
the end of an episode when Maureen and Mitch come back, and just an incredible casting decision of Margot Martindale and Richard Kind as a married couple is just really really wonderful. And they show back up after several episodes of having presumably been murder suicided. And then
we were in Florida
and they come back and they were just in Florida. enjoying some oranges. And this is the first moment when, because that's the end of an episode. And I don't remember if we just went right into the next one or not, Em. I remember it being the first time in my head. I was like, okay, so are we like really Ryan Murphying this thing? Are they ghosts now? Is this in Dean's head? Like, is some sort of layer of reality about to unfold? And then, yeah, the next time I was like, we were in Florida and our son's a little upset and he, you know, killed a couple people in our home, but we're fine. It's like, cool. Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. And at that point, how can you be mad at the ending? Because the show has jumped the shark.
Yeah.
Queen.
Also, like, did they kill Richard Kind off screen where he died from an embolism? Like, did he just have like a conflict of like that he couldn't be on the set for did he get a positive COVID test?
I fully buy Richard Kind totally leaving the production midway through.
Yeah, I got to get back to
East
New York.
I can't give everyone a cold. And what if one of you has COVID and I'm going to get it and I'm not going to wear the mask? It makes me sweat. You know, like, I feel like Richard Kind not wanting to show up would have.
You want me to sit in this lawn chair one more time? No.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I would love to dive into other things that happened in the series that were just completely implausible, unexplained WTF.
Can I start with one?
From the seven episodes. Yes.
The butcher block. Why did we put that in?
Oh, this upset Emily.
What was the reason?
I was like, you don't respect wood enough to put a butcher block in, guys. Yeah. I see you putting a coaster down every time you put a cup of coffee down. Like, this is not sustainable. No wonder the house is mad.
His whole deal was he wanted to put the butcher block in because he does.
I got
to
make my sauce.
Yeah, he's got to make his sauce.
On Sunday, you know how I make the sauce.
Yeah. I want to know what that looks like, Rob. Does he just like open up like crushed tomatoes and plop them down on the counter?
I don't know.
Just, like, mush them
well, he didn't. He doesn't want to stain the Carrera marble. I understand that.
Yeah.
Like to go from that to butcher block.
Maybe
butcher block is going to smell eventually, right? Like you're going to rot out the counters.
It
you're going
to
put like slabs
that.
Of meat down.
Well, no, you're supposed to put a cutting board on top of that. But either way, the water damage, it's too much. I don't like that. No. Okay. No.
Inexplicable thing number one. What do you have on your list, Rob?
Oh, I mean, what was the... Okay, so they hired the Dakota to put in the... He puts in the security system. And then, for no reason whatsoever, Dakota's like, yeah, I installed a camera in your bedroom, okay?
Yes.
And he just so happened to have recorded all of this. And while Bobby Carnival sleeps... a woman comes in and kind of messes with him while he's sleeping. And to the point where, like, I don't know, again, how much of this was like premeditated where then that footage is going to be sent out to Naomi Watts and to Bobby Carnival's voice, boss at the agency, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever his job is.
Who was this woman? What?
Where he didn't make partner.
Yeah. Who was this woman? What was all this?
She was the character actress. I'm telling you, Theodora was not lying. She hired a character actress. She snuck her into the bottom of the house. She took her upstairs and she's like, just get in the bed with him and then get out of the bed. We're gonna frame this guy. So, and then I'm gonna tell him about it later on and give him peace. That's exactly what happened. I don't care what anybody says.
So you believe
her.
Theodora Chappelle?
I mean, you have to explain this pigtailed woman that everybody keeps talking about throughout the entire show. They're like, yeah, he probably likes younger women. Probably some chick with pigtails. Yeah, probably some chick with pigtails. If you say pigtails? Yeah, that's crazy that you said pigtails. Like, are you a pig? Like, no, Mrs. Trunchbull. You know, like.
But pigtails, remember, Mia Farrow's character has two braids, which is also, you know, like, that's not like a normal thing we're choosing to do with our hair on a regular basis. Mm. I don't know.
People wearing pigtails are the real villain. That's probably true.
Every time you see one in real life, do you think that?
You do. You
I'm
really
thinking
do.
About it for myself.
Yeah.
There's an SNL skit about adult pigtails. It's like a real thing. I highly encourage everyone to look it up.
Wear your hair however you want to wear your hair. But I love the idea that this was Mia Farrow. I love the idea that Pearl snuck into the house and was just like sitting there. She's like, oh, you think my brother's creepy?
yeah.
She wait. She just got there via the dumbwaiter as well, just like Tim McManus did.
Yeah. Okay. So Jasper often
Jasper,
rides
character actor Terry Kinney, prolific New York theater director Terry Kinney, aka Tim McManus, warden of M City and Oz, also the shady dude guy from Billions who does everything that Damian Lewis wants him to do.
He invited no one to dinner in this series, which is upsetting to me. That was his move.
That was his move direct,
as the Ward of Oz. Yeah,
I saw him as Jasper immediately. It's like, okay, there's a lot of great cast members in here, but you cast Terry Kinney as Jasper, and I'm leaning in immediately. And then I was really leaning away once I saw he was in the dumbwaiter. I was like, no, get that man out of the dumbwaiter.
Yeah,
terrifying.
He just likes to ride the dumbwaiter. That's it. Everybody else was cool with it. Why aren't you?
Yeah, and this
and
is
why
sort
do you
of
have to insult the waiter like that. We don't know.
Hate this.
Be a smart waiter.
But this is cherry picked from real life stuff. So this is sort of mirrored after the schizophrenic neighbor who apparently would show up and like look in windows and kind of like be at the house and like be on the property.
But he didn't ride the dumbwaiter, did he?
No. And I'm not sure that this house necessarily has one in real life. But
yeah, yeah. I feel like that was a big plot point on Webster. Am I the only person that's old enough to have watched that show?
I don't know about old enough, but maybe the only one who watched it.
Yeah, I was like, me and Josh were there, but we didn't partake.
Did we deign to do it? Yeah. Nope.
No, I passed. Thank you, though. I appreciate myself, the offer.
But,
okay.
But I really like this confession.
Yeah, for sure. At the end of the series, that Bobby Carnival, he goes to the house, he's sending letters to the new owner. The house has taken him over. Naomi Watts pulls up shortly after Bobby Carnival leaves. Is she on to Bobby Carnival is she also similarly obsessed with the house? Are they both obsessed with the house at this point?
Mm-hmm. Separately. Two mm-hmm. separate obsessions. You know, they could just align their obsession and like tag team like Mo and Mitch were, Big Mo. But, you know, they decided to tackle this separately. He goes, he does his watch because he has his own theories. Then she has a follow up because remember, she still thinks this was Karen. So she's kind of like, I need to see what's going on here. Who is this new black family that's here? Oh, look, they're interracial. Wow, this must mean they're really, devilish. Like, we really got to watch this. We gotta tag team this one. So I think that's what it is. Hopefully they could just put their heads together. I think they might figure something out if they do that because they keep missing each other and they're lying to each other. He's like, oh, babe, I'm in traffic. Oh, I just had an interview. Jerry doesn't have a job. This man will never have a job again. He's just like in that little folktale they told about John or somebody who like got fired from work. Well, he just stopped going to work after a while. He just started using all his family's money. That's what this guy is doing. Dean's doing the same shit. So, that's what The Watcher 2 is going to be about. Her trying to figure out that this man hasn't gone to work in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to pay the property tax?
Mm-hmm. Like, she's man, we're broke.
Her art's taking off, so she's fine. Her life is fine.
That's true.
For now. I mean, come on. That has to be the next ball to drop, right? Everything else is going to shit, and she's all in love. But I am kind of like the dopest artist in town, right? Like, isn't that cool? Like, my husband's broke, but shit, I'm rich. I don't care.
Real ghost moments with her working at the pottery studio.
Yeah.
Like, just waiting for an arm to reach around.
Another ghost story.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
We do stand
lyric.
Whoopi here. Yes, we have.
Absolutely. So, you're in danger, girl.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He is.
Oh, my God.
Do you think Willie was the watcher?
Oh,
yeah.
Please.
Bill?
Head off by, was it Carl is his friend who's the trainer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Carl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy. Can't believe they haven't made a sequel to that. I mean, the IP.
The ghost?
Yeah.
I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting.
That is a hot IP.
If I got the chance to talk to Whoopi the other week, I worked a party that she was at. And I got to see her leave the party. But she might have ingested something I touched, and that was exciting.
Oh, her granddaughter wasn't there, was she?
Odd phrase.
Yes. Yeah.
Where's Queen Amara?
Yes.
Yeah, Queen Amara. Tell Whoopi to tell her granddaughter we said hi.
Okay.
Yes. From Claim to Fame. Emily, you watched some of Claim to Fame.
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were some of the other highlights of this for you, Chappelle?
Highlights, that's a strong word. There were just moments that just like kind of jump out to you. I do think the Dakota stuff is ridiculous because it is very triggering for them to be like, you caught the police on this young black boy with no evidence. It's like, actually, you have a ton of evidence. Honestly, nobody could fault you for calling the police. This guy has been watching your house and you actually told him to watch it since the moment you showed up. The guy's like, $7,000 for a few cameras. I got you. He's like, yeah, shit. Stay the night. We'll stand outside. Watch. Mm-hmm. Go inside my house. Go in my room. They just let him have free reign. And then when they call the cops on him, he gets dragged down to the station. He's like, how dare you do that to me? I'm a black boy in America. This is stressful. Do you know how humiliating this is? I'm like, Dakota, it's still you. I know it's you. I know it's you. It's got to be.
Screen name is The Watcher.
He works
in surveillance. He's a security guard.
You're like, but and then all this like evidence pointing at him, and they go, but how did you even find out that his screen name was The Watcher? Like, did you have a warrant for that? Like, that's illegally obtained.
No, she hacked him.
Yeah, she's like, they're like, well, did you want to talk about shit? You're doing illegal shit. What are we going to do? We got to rescue him.
No, actually, I'm really into Fourth Night. Yeah,
not Fourth Night. Okay,
Fourth Night, right?
Yeah,
I'm really into it.
Yeah,
you know, with him. He's The Watcher.
I thought it definitely got uncomfy with, you know, that they introduced Dakota and he's 19 and the daughter is 16 and she's like, hey, you better watch out. I'm jailbait. But then they're going to get together. But then it's like, oh, reveal. The age of consent in New Jersey is 16. I guess.
And so like all of them immediately.
I guess, what a relief.
Yeah. Oh, Jersey. The New Jerseyans are at home like, well, it's fine.
It's like after they get that and then they're like, Dakota, you're not so bad after all.
Yeah. He's like, Dakota, why don't you come to dinner? Yeah.
Yeah.
Have some
of this red wine, Dakota. Yeah.
That
like,
was
you're 19,
crazy.
Right? Drink up.
Yeah. And also Bobby was like such a dick to his daughter throughout the entire series. And she was just like, why?
I just want to kiss goodnight.
Come on.
There was a lot going on. He's like, why do you have that lipstick on? And she's like, oh my God, you're slut shaming me. You're horrible. I didn't even want to move here. And then that one guy shows up. He's like, man, my daughter was such a whore. I hope your daughter isn't a whore like my daughter was a whore. And now all of a sudden, Dean's like, maybe she's a whore. Shit, what did I do? Yeah. Oh my God, what do I do?
You're making a lot of sense.
This also, is after John has infiltrated the home as the city inspector.
Who shows up to inspect things before they're done. That's the biggest red flag of them all. I'm like, this man doesn't know you exist until he sees, like, you know, the final, like, walkthrough. Like, why would he be there?
Raided the refrigerator.
Yes.
Mrs. Brannick said I could make a sandwich.
Helped himself to a sandwich. Touched all of your meats, all of your cheeses, all of your breads.
All of your breads. Probably I'm stuck a finger in the mayo jar. Then on top of it, he doesn't even eat the sandwich. He just leaves it.
I'm sorry. I would never be okay with someone just coming in and making themselves a sandwich in our apartment.
Without consent? No way.
No, I wouldn't even let it happen. Like a friend of ours, you want a sandwich? I will make you a sandwich. Don't go touching my stuff.
Yeah.
No.
And this was the guy who was really Bill at the end, right? Like, he's like, oh, I'm joining the inspector crew.
Right.
Like, I'm a part of the preservation thing. I love dumb waiters. This guy was weird. But, I mean, he is the one who really planted the seeds. They're like, hey, you should really watch your daughter because she's out here being a girl. And, I mean, God forbid, you know, God forbid she does anything like that.
Don't let her leave her room. Also, why were the kids upset about leaving? Wouldn't they be like, oh, I don't know,
my
ferret died. I should probably not trust this house.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm sorry about your meerkat or whatever.
Yeah. Muskrat, I think she called it also.
I'm sorry about your muskrat.
I feel like
the son was just like, I like it here. And I was like, why?
I think literally.
Give it a rest.
But you know what?
Yeah.
I think Carter didn't know what was going on with the Watcher,
maybe? He was
maybe?
In two scenes in the entire show.
I feel like
the ferret dies and he disappears.
Yeah, the ferret dies. Well, that makes sense. He retreats into his room to go into... He's sitting Shiva for the meerkat, you know, for the rest of the series. That makes sense. But I do think, isn't there a moment where he's like, wait, what are you talking about? He comes in on like a mom and dad fight. I feel like he's just finding out about the Watcher towards the end.
I don't want to come across as insensitive. I did think the Watcher had some points in regards to the ferret.
It's a ferret.
The ferret's name was Sprinkles, and the ferret's name was Sprinkles for reasons. Okay, if you want to preserve that house and its luster, maybe you don't want a incontinent ferret running around 657.
Did you let ferret sprinkle in the basement? I will find out.
Yeah,
and kill ferret.
Yeah, the fact that the ferret had free reign of the house might have been the most disturbing thing in the movie.
Yeah,
it didn't last long.
Yeah.
Within seconds, he was dead. And we never found out about the ferret because when he goes to the police say, well, maybe the ferret took its own life.
Have yeah.
you thought about that.
That like, was what? Amazing.
Like, there wasn't a lot of ferret love in this. There's not a lot of ferret support.
They said, this. Have you checked on the ferret's mental health? They're like, honestly, before you come talk to us, did you really investigate your part in the ferret's death? Because yes, it's been bludgeoned, but could it have bludgeoned itself? Are you part of the reason?
What was Sprinkle's mood like in the days leading up?
It's like, I'm sure he's been murdered, but has he? You know, it is a ferret. They are, you know, it could have gone both ways. I was like, what is happening? And that's episode ridiculous. What, two? No, I think it's the first episode.
Yeah, I think we lose Sprinkles at the start. I think Sprinkles is the first official casualty of the house.
You keep going back to a cop who suggested that your ferret, took its own life. And you go back to him several times. Like, at that point, you should have wrote that cop off altogether. Like,
well, they've got? They've got Theodora Chappelle, but she's the watcher.
the cop recommended her. I'm saying the moment he says, did the ferret, have you checked on the ferret before this? That's when you're like, all right, no more of you. We have to go outsource this to a different community or something like that. This is not going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Justice for Sprinkles.
Justice for Sprinkles.
For sure. For sure. Also, there's like we were talking about where there's the whole issue with Dakota, and then they go through the phone and they see that Dakota is sending pictures back and forth with the daughter. And then the daughter like goes on TikTok and makes a video about like, hey, everybody, my dad is a racist. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought that there'd be more repercussions about that. Yeah, but they kind of like it never comes up. Like it seems like he's on the ropes at work. Seems like it never really comes. Maybe she doesn't have that big of a following.
Yeah.
You sent that out to 50 people.
Yeah. But I mean, it does get them sort of have their membership review under review at the country club.
Yeah, but
the country club would be like, actually, we like your type.
Yeah,
like,
okay. We're gonna comp you.
TikTok video.
Yeah.
Would you like platinum membership, please?
Mm-hmm. Terrifying. Like, ugh.
I love it when they're like, do you remember this black lady from the country club? No, trust me, there's no black lady.
Oh yeah, she's like, trust me, shamefully, I would know. Yeah,
look, I know black people, and they've said no foot in here. God forbid. You know, like we take big strides to make sure we keep this country club friendly. You know, we don't let them in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were three black people at the country club, and I knew them all. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's what Margot Martindale says basically by the end of this thing. Let's talk about the Preservation Society that comes together by the end of this. Are we supposed to believe like is this some sort of like Suicide Squad that has been in cahoots this whole movie?
Pigtails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, I think it's sort of like, right, like we have like this idea of what like a preservation like society would look like. And they very much like, I feel like in real life are sort of very similar to this like haggard group of people where they're all like, well, let's talk about the elevator or let's see what they're doing with the facade. But like having like intrigue into the inside of a house to that degree, especially when you don't really have any power, like we have the power of suggestion. Like we can strongly suggest that they don't get rid of the dumb waiter or that they don't change the countertops again or whatever. It's kind of creepy. I don't know. But I feel like, I don't know. We live in an area or close enough to an area that's landmarked in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a Brooklyn Landmark Society that sort of like approves contracts. And if you want to do anything to a landmarked building, you have to go through them. And I have to imagine it's like a very similar makeup of people where everyone's like in their like 70s or 80s. And they're like, I remember when this used to be like this and we don't want to see them doing this. And they have hearings every once in a while the public can go to. And I have to believe that everyone's like, well, I don't like the cut of this jib. Like, you know, like there's got to be something similar to that. But it's creepy and it's weird. And I feel like in this context where they're like discussing the inside of this specific house, you don't really have that power. I don't know.
the dumbwaiter was so special to this community. My nephew used to ride that baby for miles. You know, like that's why we can't let it get taken away. These are exactly the people you're talking about. I 100% agree. Yeah. If somebody walks into your neighborhood with pigtails, you might have to be worried about something like this one day happening.
I'll keep an eye out. I'll know. I'll let you guys know. But
how about the tunnels?
Yeah. Tunnels. Yeah, kind of got tacked on there, like episode 6.
Late series reveal is there's the tunnel underneath in the basement, which had been alluded to before that this was how Marco Martindale and Richard Kind would get into the basement to feast on blood, of young blood. But we didn't know where the tunnel was, and then during the renovations at the basement uncovers the tunnel. And Dean and Nora go down the tunnel, and there's a spooky person. Ooh, scary person, spooky person.
Yeah. Classic Ryan Murphy. Classic Ryan Murphy, right? Like, I feel like we've seen a lot of stuff like this, where it's like you go down this long, dark path, and then you're like,
Yeah.
It must have gotten drafty down there.
Of course.
Yeah.
No insulation. Okay. Actually, one of the inspectors for the real house was like, yeah, you want to talk about what's inside the house? A lack of insulation. That's why it's like very drafty around here, because they freaked out enough to have him come and check everything out, because they were like, the walls, what's in the walls? And the guy was like, well, you might want to re-insulate. Spray foam. It's the way to go.
And they basically say like it's like a maze down there. They can't even figure out what's happening in the tunnels. Like, it's not like that. Like, you would think you'd be able to follow the tunnel. Okay, it goes to this house. It goes to this house. Apparently, there's like a whole like catacombs underneath the house.
Yeah.
But not in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
One of my early issues with this was the blood story, you know, because it was being told to us by a gentleman who seemed like he was on, you know, he had been driven crazy by the house himself, or like these letters or something like that. And he's the guy who was forced to believe at first is telling the truth. Like, no, like, I got the real story. Here's what it is. People are going to think you're crazy, but people are out here sucking blood. They're sucking baby's blood. It's little kids. They're putting them up on altars and they're sucking baby's blood. And I know this for a fact because my 2-year-old told me this story. I swear. He went missing and he came back and he reported this exact thing. He said they went to a house. They saw a room full of people. They were wearing red. They put a baby up on the altar. They siphoned blood from him, and then they started to do a ritual. I was like, now your child told you this? Your 3-year-old? How old was this kid who reported this with such vivid imagery that now we all know that this is the people who did it? I was like, all right, I'm out. At this point, episode 1.5, I think I was like, all right, shenanigans all around. Because how does a child recount these events so vividly?
Well, they said that ultimately it was like discredited. Like, they said the kid makes stuff up.
Yeah.
I mean, duh. He's a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
But also, like, who could make up this? You know, it's very, very vivid. I mean, if you tell me the dad made it up, okay, fine. They said he might have been on some, you know, medications that were mood altering, and maybe he was seeing some things. Mm-hmm. But if he's saying that his source material is his 3-year-old child, like, I'm not saying don't believe children, but children do be lying.
Mm-hmm. You know who I really liked on the show was the actor Michael Norrie, who is you may remember him as Summer Roberts' father on The O.C. He's Roger. He's the teacher. Who, like, you do see him early on in the first episode of the open house of The Watcher, and then he kind of disappears. And then when they bring him back in the second to last episode, it's like, oh, okay, well, that would have been clever. You had the Watcher in the very first episode, kind of quasi-recognizable actor. We completely forget about him as we're going down the rabbit holes of all these different people. And now you're bringing him back out and it's Roger and he's the guy. And it's not him. They confront him at the grocery store and he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I had this idea to write people to their houses. Ode to the home was my idea, but I would not do something like this. And the next morning, he just shows up. He's just standing outside. It's like, yeah, that's right. I'm going to be out here all day just giving you the shit eye. Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to have this house one day. You'll see.
You embarrassed me in front of my wife. I'm going to be here all day.
She's going to leave me now. And I'm like, really? She's going to leave you for this?
Was he with a different woman than later on in the series?
So Josh's theory was that he married his student.
Oh. Yes, I thought that was the implication.
Yeah.
I thought the implication was that the student that is in like that flashback scene is the same
where
person.
Where she's like, can we choose our own house? And he's like, absolutely
I bet
not.
You can.
By the way, come by for extra credit.
Yeah.
You that was the, my
that
house.
Was that was how I read that. And I was very unsettled.
But I kind of feel like that they sort of like took that guy off the suspect list when he started like asking questions to John in the like, oh, like, by the way, how's your family?
Right.
Felt like that he's like, okay, well, he's not on the side of the anacondas, Josh.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Mm. Though he would be great in an anaconda movie, I think.
No doubt, for sure. I don't think we've done enough to talk about how fun Jennifer Coolidge is here in this, especially her conversations with Nora throughout.
You should really let me win. It's not great when you just demolish me.
It's not polite.
Tennis.
Yeah.
It's not polite. You should really let the other person win sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like keep it close, healthy at least. Pour of wine that she had at every meal.
Yes.
Yeah. That's some Tammy Taylor shit. Yeah. Like, that's a full glass.
I thought she asked for a holiday pour also. Yes.
I like to call it a double white wine.
Yeah, a double white wine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. When I go to a wedding or any sort of like catered event that I'm not working personally. Yeah.
You got one chance at the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, I'll have a double white wine. Yeah. I met somebody at a bar who was doing that ahead of me once and I was just like kindred spirits.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Yeah.
But she's getting like double white wine at lunch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And she's also, that's not all she's getting since the divorce, Rob.
Yes. She's the one that really also like starts to like come up with the narrative that, hey, Bobby Carnival, Dean is cheating on you. It's obvious. OK, how often are you fornicating? OK. And because the answer is if it's not every single day, then he's cheating on you. And you need to correct this. And, you know, she had an issue with her ex-husband and he was gaslighting her. And, you know, he tried to blame his problems with his unit on her. Mm-hmm. And now she's getting very consistent fornication.
Yeah.
Yes.
Constant dick is what I believe she said. Or consistent.
Yeah.
Consistent.
Dick.
Consistently. Yes. She was funny.
Dick.
There were moments where it looked like it was going to be her and you were thinking, oh, yeah, this is it. And then she started talking. You're like, there's no way this woman did this. There's just no way. I'm sorry. She doesn't have it in her. Because when she yells like, hey, this is not even my fault. It's not my fault that you got mad at some dumbass letters that weren't even that scary. I was like, she does make a point. Like, you brought this to her table. You could have just left her alone. You know, so they weren't really that scary. It's not like the guy was like, I'm going to kill you. It's like, I'm watching the house. Like, OK, cool. Leave me alone. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, danger.
Interesting, because then later we find out from Shooter McGavin that he, I guess he did have some performance issues.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Coolidge made him feel bad about it.
Yeah, well, inconsistency, right?
Mm-hmm. You know? Inconsistent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe he had one job.
Well, yeah, if you're not investigating these crimes.
Shooter, to be a consistent dick.
Mm-hmm. A private dick,
yes.
If you will. Mm-hmm. Oh no, that's Theodora.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So, Chappelle, I felt like that this had some similarities to what was the Curse of Bridge Hollow? Was that what we watched?
What similarity did you
What's
find
happening on this?
So,
the Curse of Bridge Hollow.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Curse of Bridge Hollow while the Watcher was available to you?
Both of them came out very similarly on Netflix.
We had to make a choice, Rob. We watched both of them.
No, I'm saying. Can you consult me in this process moving forward? You should have watched The Watcher sooner than the Bridge Hollow.
We had to give people time to catch up on it. We couldn't do The Watcher right when it dropped. We had to give people time.
In The Curse of Bridge Hollow, there are a lot of similar themes.
This was my house, is all I'm saying, is I would have installed a butcher block by now, so to speak.
In The Curse of Bridge Hollow, also maybe the same weekend got dropped on Netflix, is the story of a family who is living in a Brooklyn apartment. They decide to move out to the country to give a new life to a teenage daughter. And that they do find is that there are secrets in the house that they move into that has been famously haunted. And there's some supernatural stuff that is occurring here. And, you know, there's skeptics and, you know, I feel like that there were some similarities, Chappelle.
There was a few. I mean, they both did leave New York for the fact that it was just too dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, in Bridge Hollow, the whole time, Marlon Wayans' character is saying, we had to get out of there. We had to get out of there. I moved you over here so we didn't have to deal with this stuff. Sure, we have haunted Halloween decorations, but that I had to get you out of New York. And throughout this show, he keeps saying, this is exactly why we left New York. See, we left New York to get away from these problems. Like, what problems? What was happening to you aside from going back?
Yeah, what have we learned from both of these? I'm going to glean that perhaps you stay. Perhaps you don't leave New York.
Yes.
I don't trust these suburban areas. This doesn't feel safe to me. This doesn't feel good. Nope. I'm going to be here. I feel like
Emily's talking to me right now, personally.
I am, actually.
I do feel like this is targeted.
Josh, who's going to mow the lawn? It's not going to be you.
It won't be me, for sure. Definitely not. Definitely not.
I'll try to mow the lawn.
It's okay. You'll try.
Yeah.
Rob, there are definitely some similarities there. I think the biggest difference, though, is that we did find out that the Curse of Bridge Hollow was actually a Curse of Bridge Hollow. It was real. Whereas, had that movie ended with them staying being like, but do y'all see these Halloween decorations? Like, no, I don't. No. And then, the decorations, walking by as that happens, then it would have been a very similar movie. But it was close.
Mm-hmm.
Is everyone on the panel aware of the fact that the Watcher House has been visited routinely since this show has dropped?
Yeah.
657 Boulevard, TikTok is all over it, and that's not great. Don't go out there. Leave them alone.
What was I saying to you, Josh? I was like, why would you make a story about this? What if the Watcher starts sending you letters? Like, what if Ryan Murphy starts getting Watcher letters
Watcher's
in the mail?
Not gonna do that. That's too much heat. Watcher has too much heat on them right now. This is bad. This is a bad situation for the Watcher. Yeah.
You know, going back to something that Emily said when talking about the real story, that I do kind of wonder if maybe the homeowners themselves. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is something that is explored in The Watcher of, is Bobby Cannavale in over his head? Can they not really afford this place? And, in an effort to sort of drum up some sort of hype around this house, where, people will ultimately, it became a media story. Could you potentially, sell the movie rights to the house or get some sort of interest in this real estate property.
I mean, there are always people that are like, oh, I want to own that house because of the crazy thing that happened there. Right. I mean, originally when you read through the article, it talks about all the ways in which they didn't want to make this super public. They felt really responsible for telling whoever was interested in the property that these letters have been coming. They were forthright in disclosing a lot of that information because they felt like the owners prior to them didn't. And those owners, by the way, I think only got one letter and they disregarded it. They were like, whatever, that was creepy, but we're leaving.
Junk mail.
Yeah. Well, I think he wrote them a letter being like, thanks for taking such great care of the house. I've been watching. And they were like, all right, well, we're selling it. So see ya. They didn't even think to disclose it. And that's basically this kind of caught fire in the media from the current owners suing the previous owners and being like, what the hell? You didn't disclose this. And we felt like you should have, we wouldn't have bought this if we knew that this was going to happen. And it was the next day, the Today Show was like, so there's a really creepy house that's been getting letters. And that's how it exploded. Right. But I feel like now that we've got the Ryan Murphy component to it, now that it's a successful Netflix piece, are there going to be people who are like, nah, property values are going up and this is the spot. Should we do some tours? Should we see if we can get some letters coming back to us? I don't know, because it just got resold, right? So the new family that's been living there for the last 3 years, I guess, at this point, Like, are they still like we I think they've been checked in on and nobody's received any letters. Yeah. But that might also be them being like, yeah, it's done. It's definitely over. Please don't come here anymore. Like, we don't love all of the media attention and the people driving by slowly and staring at us. Like,
can I submit a tactic that seems like it went unused by the Brannick family in this show?
Sure.
Get rid of the mailbox.
Oh, I
mean, watch your mate.
Get a P.O. box.
Get rid of the mailbox.
Yeah.
Get a P.O. box. Get a P.O. box. Have people have to send your mail to the P.O. box. Watcher's clearly hand delivering this stuff. What's Watcher?
No, they're not. No, it's not.
Watcher's sending it in the mail with stamps?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Like, he's using
USPS. New strategy. Don't even get a P.O. box. No address with which mail can be sent.
Well, like, what about packages?
Go paperless.
Yeah. How are you going to get your Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got to stop. You got to stop with the Amazon. I mean, but you could go paperless at this point. Like, what are you really getting in the mail that you really need to get in the mail that you can't get from something else? Junk. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go
the
digital.
Occasional invitation.
Mm-hmm. Send me the Evite. You got to send me the Evite. Yeah. A doodle poll or something like that. We can we can set things up without having to deal with the mail, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. That might be a good point, Josh. Also, these people, this house, they still live there. Like, these people live in a home right here. And this movie just happened about this home. And now people are going to be flocking to their house all outside, making TikToks and sending weird letters. These people won't know peace now because of Ryan Murphy.
Right.
Yeah.
You thought the house was haunted before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
That's what sucks. Yeah.
It's murder house all over again. And this is obviously... There's a lot around Ryan Murphy in the Netflix shows right now with the Jeffrey Dahmer show and a lot about the victims of Jeffrey Dahmer being like, this is like severely uncool that this show exists and you're just re-traumatizing us. I do think that the Brodesses had some measure of involvement in consulting with Ryan Murphy for this show. I do think at the very least for this one. And I think that their terms were basically... You can make the show. We'll tell you our story. Change our names and make sure that the characters look as little like us as humanly possible. So then Ryan Murphy's like, "Cool, I will enlist like model hot human beings and like award worthy actors to play you." Mm-hmm. And that's the way that we'll go. So at least like the Brodesses had some level of involvement, but. That doesn't do anything for the literal neighborhood. Maybe you could change the name of the house. Wouldn't have been the worst.
Yeah, the idea. Numbers.
Address?
Yeah.
Did you repeat 4 billion times throughout the 7 episodes?
Yeah.
Why is Ryan Murphy not in prison again? Like, what did we do?
Should
we
rename the house? Do we have any good suggestions on the fly? How about 12 Little House Lane? No,
what?
Not as scary, huh?
No.
Yeah.
No, not as scary. 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
Oh, that's scary. That's daycare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Munsters would have definitely bought this house.
The Munsters.
Oh, 100%.
Well, by the way, another thing in the that all of the Netflix cinematic universe is connected. And in the Munsters, they go looking for real estate properties, and they take them to like a really nice house that's like across the street from like a decrepit old like rundown mansion, and they're very upset because they feel like that they're trying to get them to buy this this really nice new house just to distract them from the dilapidated old falling apart mansion, which is the real find on the street.
Yeah. We also picked watching the Munsters over the Watcher, Josh.
The Watcher wasn't out yet. It wasn't out yet.
Rob. I can't remember. It was within a couple
check the
hours
dates.
Difference, maybe.
Check the dates. I don't know. Okay. Yeah.
So the whole Netflix universe is interconnected.
Yes.
I want to see the Squid Game version of The Watcher.
Oh, God.
I think Margot Martindale is in is BoJack, right? She's in BoJack Horseman.
Correct.
So, you know, I think it is all connected. I have to believe that there's at least a 70 degrees of separation between.
There are tunnels connecting all of the shows.
That's what happens.
Oh, no.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Anything else about The Watcher that we want to make sure that we talk about here, or that somebody listening to the podcast is yelling at us that we haven't talked about yet?
Oh, gosh. Probably. Damn it.
There was so much. It really was. I mean, it was just like any mild inconvenience can send the next group of watchers to your house and like trying to ruin you or completely throw off whatever plans you have. Because you would think, why didn't they just leave? It's like, well, there is this one thing you did that makes it impossible for you to leave right now. And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to fix that thing. Well, while you were trying to fix that, you did piss off this other guy who's now invested in watching your house too. It's like, well, maybe he did it. It's like, no, because on the way there, you did cut that guy off on the street and now he's watching your house. So maybe it's just like when you get that first inkling to leave, you just go and just deal with the consequences later on.
Maybe everyone's always just watching.
Yeah. Oh, it's an allegory for Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too much watching. Well, binge watching. Yeah.
The binge watcher.
It might be an allegory for something else because the way Netflix is moving, I don't know if people be watching as much as they think they are.
Yeah. But is it possible that, you know, you like sort of like, hey, like, let me put on the Netflix. OK, let me get into this. And then like kind of like you're just like down bad, like Bobby Carnival, like watching like you're on to season 8 of some show and you can't turn it off and you just keep coming back over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think that that's probably right. I feel like if there's something that I have left unsaid, it's that I think for all the joking that you could do about the show, and gosh, is there a lot, I think that it was surprisingly compellingly acted, specifically from Bobby Cannavale and Naomi Watts. I thought that they made the whole thing extremely watchable. I felt really hooked into both of their plights. I felt very bad for them at different turns. I felt very baffled by them at different turns as well. But I was really hooked into like, God, this must be awful. And like your whole lives are falling apart. And I think in lesser actors' hands, like maybe it's just an out and out romp. And it was very rompy for sure. But I think it did come at the hands of two actors who were really, really, really tremendous in a lot of different stuff. And in this as well, I thought so.
Agreed.
Big Naomi Watts fan dating back to The Ring, which scared me poopless in movie theaters when I saw it in high school, and then scared me poopless again when I saw it the second time in movie theaters in high school in the same week. I was still terrified by The Ring. Gosh, this is a horrifying
movie. You okay?
No.
No poop that whole week.
No. No, I had too much. It got it all out.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's some value there.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. So many numbers flew around about how much the house was selling for, how much they would sell it for. That do we have like any conclusion from the movie? Just how big of a loss, if any, do Bobby and Naomi take on this house?
Well, I think it's like done to like inflation standards of 2022 because like the original listing price, I think that they paid for it, or like the original price they paid for the house in 2014 was 1.3. Mm-hmm. Right. And in this, they're talking like 2-3 mil.
Yeah.
So like, this is like sort of like the housing shortage, but like big, big bucks, like mid to post pandemic kind of like flight from the city. Purchasing power.
They kind of broke even, you know, with the exception of their sanity. All right. They didn't ultimately take too big of a loss.
Yeah.
Sanity's gone. Marriage is gone. I mean, they're still married, but make no mistake, you can't come back from this one. I'm sorry.
Probably not.
Barrett is gone.
Barrett is gone.
Rest in peace, Sprinkles.
Okay.
Justice for Sprinkles.
Yeah. All right. Well, this was so fun to get to talk about The Watcher, and greatly appreciate the contributions from Josh and Emily to talk about this.
Rob, does it make you nervous at all as a new homeowner? Or is it more that you're going to become the watcher for the people who buy your house at some point in the future?
Yeah, maybe. Perhaps that is going to be the case. But I kind of felt like that by the end. I was a little bit scared in the first couple episodes. I'm like, oh wait, like there, I don't even think there was any real ghosts. So
you're more afraid of ghosts than real people.
100%. Yes, for sure.
You know what? You know what this show is missing? Real ghosts.
Yeah, I think a ghost showing up to say pay the bill would have been appreciated.
Much scarier.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So now both of you had some great feedback in terms of what sorts of things we have been covering on the Nothing But Netflix podcast. Chappelle and I need to figure out what we're going to talk about next. Okay. So
do you have a lineup of stuff?
Yeah, I do have a number one right now, and y'all have to, correct me if y'all don't think this is like a good choice, but coming Thursday, at the last remaining Blockbuster, a hardworking manager fights to keep his video store open and staff happy amid competition and complicated feelings. It's a Blockbuster movie or series on Netflix.
Yes.
And, you know, famously, Blockbuster is probably one of the early victims of Netflix. And so I think it would be probably appropriate to talk about it.
J.B. Smoove seems to be there.
Yes.
Randall Park is the star.
Randall Park is amazing. Yeah. And so I think that that would be my number one option unless y'all have something better coming up.
Yeah. We've been keeping an eye on that for a while.
I bet that one's going to actually be like, oh, they're trying to be sweet and like tell a good story. That sounds like what you want, like something that is at least, if not actually, being like qualitatively good, aiming to be qualitatively good.
Yeah.
That would be all right. What about Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities? It's a lot that you would have to watch though. It's GDT, the Oscar winning GDT has 8 different episodes of, like, it's his Twilight Zone that's on Netflix.
Whoa.
What if you guys watched the movie From Scratch?
Yes.
Okay. Is that in the top 10?
It's based on a book. It's got Zoe Saldana as the lead. Your mom gave me this book, Josh.
Oh.
Yeah. It's about being in Italy and finding your husband. But I think it's very food forward. So maybe that's your redemption podcast after
the way,
easy baking oven situation.
Curse of the Bridge Hollow still in the top 10 movies in the US.
as it should be.
Yes. I think Blockbuster is a good call. The other thing that's coming out on Netflix this week that's kind of a big deal is Enola Holmes 2. But we didn't see Enola Holmes 1, Chappelle.
We weren't familiar with the original property.
If I'm not mistaken, Enola Holmes is a detective story. And so perhaps part of the narrative could be you two trying to figure out what happened in Enola Holmes 1 with context clues.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. I think Blockbuster is definitely the pick. If people watch Enola Holmes 2 and feel like that we should be talking about it, I think that we're open to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think after The Doom, we had mixed opinions about Enola Holmes 1. And so I imagine the Nothing But Netflix listeners will have some strong opinions about, if we should be covering it.
Yes. Stars Millie Bobby Brown. So maybe that's something you and Mike Bloom cover in the Stranger Things feed.
We could just drop a random Enola Holmes episode.
Why not?
Sure.
It stars Henry Cavill, who's Superman. Could we drop it in the Everything is Super feed?
Well, why not? What was that other show? The Witcher? I mean, we're talking The Watcher? Yeah. The Witcher? Yeah, why not?
Witcher, The Watcher. Watcher meet Witcher. Witcher meet Watcher. I think if Geralt of Rivia was The Watcher, that would have been a really interesting...
I'm watching your house, Brannix. There are monsters strolling outside. I'm protecting you.
That's what he sounds like on the show. He's very good. The Witcher's actually secretly a really great show, I think.
Okay.
Cool. There's lots of stuff that happens in it.
Okay.
Monsters and swords and things.
Always. You know?
Your favorite thing.
Yes.
You know what I like.
Well, this was such a treat to have you both here with us to get young blood into the podcast. So very exciting. Emily, where can people keep up with you?
So my handle is the same for Twitter and Instagram at Emilet, like an omelet with an E. And I'm just cooking up a bunch of food these days. So that's pretty much my content at this point. But
if you're getting married in Brooklyn, maybe Emily Fox is cooking for you.
I might be.
Yeah. She can make you a toad in a hole, I've heard.
Yeah. That's right. I can.
Good God.
Josh does like a good toad in a hole. Yeah.
I do. Yeah. It's quite tasty.
Who knew? Who knew?
Who not?
I know.
Yeah. Okay. And Josh Wiggler, what about for you?
Hi, I'm Josh Wiggler. I'm a podcaster on Post Show Recaps. You can find me there. I'm at Round Howard. You can find me there on Twitter, I guess, for now. And also on Instagram at Round Howard. In addition to all of that, you can find me right here on Rob Has a Podcast in a couple of ways. We dropped our House of the Dragon podcast, Rob and I, in RHAP all season long. Nicole joined us to talk about the House of the Dragon season one finale this past week. A hell of a time. Very, very fun.
She takes it very seriously. Yeah.
She did great. It was so fun talking to Nicole. And I still think that she'd be great at The Sopranos, despite what her dreams tell her. I also will be on RHAP coming up with some more Mole.
Another Patrol. Netflix series, yeah.
Yes, another Netflix series is The Mole, which you and I, Rob, have been covering alongside the Mole Patrol crew of Brooklyn Zed and Jessica Lease. We covered the entirety of The Mole across October. And legend tells it that there is still mole to do. So we're going to keep that party going for a little while
longer.
Yeah, I kind of liked it. So it's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time with that. We've been having a good time with that. So those are the places that you can find me.
Okay. And Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
I also am a podcaster on Post Show Recaps. And I talk about Atlanta. Every other week with Gia Worthy. I talk about The Walking Dead with Josh Wigler and an amazing team, Jess Lease and AJ Mass, every week. And I'm talking about Atlanta currently with LaTanya Starks and Mari Ford. So you can catch me on Post Show Recap for all of that. I recently guested on The Lonely Boys podcast to talk about Gossip Girl season 3, episode 6, I think, which is the only episode of Gossip Girl I've ever seen. And so imagine how that went. And then I'm still on Silent Podcast talking about Never Have I Ever with my co-host, Sasha Joseph. So people can follow me on Twitter, but definitely follow at Nothing But RHAP to keep up with our Nothing But Netflix content.
Okay. All right. Well, this was such a fun
Rob, where
recap.
Do people find you?
People know where to find me.
Where to find me. Like, no, Rob,
my address is 37. No.
13.
Yeah. Hello, yes, come visit.
Yeah. Allow me to welcome you to Twitter.
Send me a letter.
I am the watcher, Elon Musk.
Oh.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, we've got everything going on with the reality TV. Had some great podcasts. By the way, check out this weekend. One of the most fun Renap episodes, maybe of all time. It's called Wienicker. I hardly know her.
I'm upset.
Akiva Winokur's three podcast co-hosts get together to play a game of who can spot the real Akiva versus the responses from an army of fake Akivas. Okay. Very fun podcast. We recorded that last night. Can't wait for people to hear that one. That's going to be up this weekend over on robhasawebsite.com. So check that out and everything else we're doing over there. And thank you so much for watching or listening, I guess. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.